Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the air and we are happy to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, all here. The whole gang is here and we're back in the studio again.
Intercom Empire is filled up.
Intercom Empire is lit right now. It's just us three, though.
Nobody else is here. We're the only ones in the building.
We're the only ones in the building. But yes, indeed, we're happy to have you along for the four-hour ride today. Got a nice, compact show for you. Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider will join us. Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports NBA Insider will join us to kind of give us a rundown of the landscape in the NBA. A lot of free agents off
you
the
can't
board.
Wait to talk with him.
I sure can't. I sure can't.
Lakers.
We got a countdown today. Top five things.
No. You really want to do this?
Why not?
Okay.
Okay, you know what?
I might need an example of that.
I will hold off on that because we may have to change it up a little bit because we haven't sold everybody on it.
Well, it's a Scraby idea. So
it's a great idea.
A Scraby idea always needs a little extra discussion before we put it into practice.
Padres pin pal. We haven't done one of those in a while. We'll bring that back today.
Fun.
But, Chris, how's your day going today?
Good. Everything's pretty good. I watched the game last night, and I noticed that Tom Brady, after it got to be past his bedtime, which is the start of the game, actually, but right. Once it got to be like 11 p.m. Eastern time, he started making some of the worst decisions I've ever seen Tom Brady make. I mean, he threw two horrendous picks in the fourth quarter, like so bad that if Carson Wentz would have thrown those, you'd be like, you know, talking about benching him. But only it's Tom Brady, so he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. But the greatest quarterback who ever lived doesn't make bad decisions like that. But he did last night, and the Rams came out with a victory because of it. And all I could think of is it was so late for Tom Brady. I mean, it gets to be he's going to be in trouble this year if the Tampa Bay does get to the Super Bowl and they play late into the night, because he can't stay up that late. He can't keep alert.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how he missed those defensive backs other than the fact that, well, he didn't miss them. He threw it right to him.
Threw it to the other team.
Yeah, twice in the fourth quarter. And Tampa Bay's offense really ground to a halt in that second half. And I tell you what, the Rams can play a little defense.
They can,
and that's
man.
What I said. I that's why I picked them to win the NFC West as of a couple of weeks ago. I just think they've got the best defense of the contenders in that division. And they showed, you know, enough of it last night. They weren't completely dominant, but you're not going to be dominant when you're facing Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Godwin, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Gronkowski. I mean, Tom Brady really doesn't have any excuses. I mean, he has so many weapons on that team, and to play a second half like he was Carson Wentz was pretty inexcusable for a guy the level of Tom Brady, to be honest with you.
Listen, I think, first of all, you got to take your hats off to the Rams because they played some really good football, especially in that second half where they pretty much dominated. And I think a large part of Tom Brady's inconsistency in that game was due to that front four.
And yes,
Aaron Donald may have not had a sack. He may have been quiet in terms of making plays.
But he was close enough to Tom Brady to contract COVID-19.
He literally
was.
Let's
put it that way.
Tom Brady has always been good when he has a clean pocket.
Like sure.
He's the best quarterback ever to do it when he has a clean pocket. But when you start putting people at his feet, this is the kind of Tom Brady you get from time to time. And yesterday was a good example. I think they held the Buccaneers. You mentioned all those players. You mentioned Evans. You mentioned Brown. You mentioned who am I missing? Godwin. You mentioned Jones. Obviously Brady. 250 yards, pretty much total offense.
Yeah, and in the second half, they hardly had 100 if they had that many.
Right.
And I'll tell you, this has got to be concerning to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this one statistic. Brady's last 19 passes 20 yards down the field, he's completed only one. Mm. That's not just last night. He was 0 for 6 last night and threw two picks on those kinds of plays. But over the last 3 weeks, he's 1 for 19 going 20 yards down the field. I mean, talking about the greatest quarterback of all time here, this is these are pretty pathetic numbers for a guy of his stature. And teams around the league are not stupid. I mean, they're going to look at this. They got Kansas City this week, and that's another big test for the Buccaneers. But Kansas City's not going to guard anybody down the field until Brady can start hitting some of those passes. And you start taking away some of his short stuff, it's going to hurt. So, but yes, the Rams were good. Bruce Arians said all the right things after the games. We got the guys open. We just missed them. Yeah, you missed them because Tom Brady made a bunch of really bad decisions. And that's got to be concerning, whether you're Bruce Arians or anybody, because as you have said many times, absolutely accurate, age is undefeated.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is still getting older. I mean, you know, it's time to start thinking that when you see a second half performance like that. And I know Scraby tweeted out after the game something to the effect of, when was the last time Tom Brady threw two picks that bad in the fourth quarter? And I thought to myself, well, 2 weeks ago against the Saints, he did that exact same thing. He was just as bad.
I was doing it for effect, and many people called me out for that.
Did they? So, yeah, yes. I mean, it hasn't been that long. So, you know, everybody's kind of blaming it on this primetime thing. I think that's, you know, just an excuse. Primetime means you're playing better teams. And I think, you know, against Carolina, he could dust them pretty well. But he didn't look good against the Saints. He did not look good last night.
The two common denominators, and that is he's in prime time. Usually, if you're in a prime time matchup, you're going to be playing against prime time
teams.
That's
what I'm saying.
And
right.
So, yes.
So, yeah, you're not going to look as good in prime time.
You can beat Carolina up, but all of a sudden you get a Saints team, a Rams team. That, by the way, those might be the two hottest defenses.
I think
in the
those
league.
Are the best two teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to leave the Packers out, but I still have a little Matt LaFleur thing mm-hmm, going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally sold on him, but I think that the Saints, the way they're playing on defense, we brought it up yesterday. They've only given up one touchdown in the last three games, and the way the Rams are playing defense, I think those are clearly right now kind of sticking themselves out there as the best two. And I know people still like Seattle a lot. And you have to still always be concerned with them because they got Russell Wilson, but their defense isn't quite up to where it needs to be. Now, maybe it'll get there for the playoffs, but it's not there yet. So.
Yeah, listen, there's a couple of different things that remain the same. There has always been a formula to beating a Tom Brady-led team, and it's always started with your front seven. If you're getting pressure up the middle and he has to move his feet, Tom Brady struggles when he has to do that. The other thing on the Rams side is how much of a difference it makes to have that kind of cornerback from the very – because remember, they got Jalen Ramsey like towards – right at the trade deadline, which is more than about halfway through the season.
Last year. Okay.
So he wasn't really – they hadn't been able to kind of put him in their game plan in terms of that defensive scheme. Now you get a whole offseason, you get a training camp, and you see the difference it makes having him. They moved him – all around, you heard Greasy talking about them moving him closer to the line of scrimmage so he can have an impact on the plays. And listen, other than the catch he gave up early to Evans, he really didn't give up much else. And that's a large part in why that team is going to be tough, because he can literally take away – Buccaneers are different. They have multiple guys that can beat you. But he can take away your one best guy.
He can take half of them away. Yeah,
exactly. And that's what he did last night.
Yeah, I look at
– as well as the rest of the secondary, because they all played well.
But he – you know, and look at the touchdown pass that Evans caught. It was on a nice scheme, Buccaneers,
where they
put Godwin in motion, and nobody went with him. So at the last minute, Ramsey ran over to cover Godwin, and that left Evans – on somebody else, right. and he got a touchdown right. out of it. Buccaneers were not, or the Rams were not stupid enough to let that happen again. And Ramsey followed Evans around. And that's why Antonio Brown had a nice little game. Godwin had a nice game. But those two guys aren't game breakers like Evans is.
No.
And Ramsey can take Evans out. It is a huge factor to have a defensive back like that. I think that he's the most dominant DB in the league right now in terms of just taking a side of the field away.
They have two of the most dominant defensive players in all
right.
football.
Aaron
you got
Donald
one
too,
on the front line,
yeah.
and then you got one in, as your last line of defense. Yeah. That makes you tough.
I think the Rams are better now than they were when they went to the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
I know that everybody loved that Super Bowl team, but that Super Bowl team was offensive-minded and put together with a bunch of superstar
And what happened
weapons.
When they played a team that that's...
And then the Patriots got a hold of them, and Brian Flores was one of the coaches in
he
that
sure
game
was.
Who stifled Goff again a few weeks ago. But, yeah, the Patriots held the Rams to 3 points in that Super Bowl. But the Rams now can play defense and stay in the game because
yeah.
the Rams' offense was kind of quiet in the second half.
It really was.
Last night as
it
well.
It really was.
They gave Tom Brady,
I think, what, three opportunities?
Three or four opportunities to get back and tie that game. And Tom Brady couldn't even get a drive going. I mean, it was three and out. Even after they got the turnover early in the second half, Brady couldn't move him, and they had to settle for a field goal. So, really, the Rams' defense won that game last night, and Brady lost that game.
Yeah.
It depends on how you want to look at it. But it's not often you're saying the phrase, Brady lost the game, but he lost that one.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? It really took away, I thought, which was a pretty good defensive performance by the Buccaneers.
Right.
As you mentioned,
yeah,
they gave up most of their stuff. In the first half, after that, I think the Rams scored one more touchdown in that third quarter, and that was it for the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, they kicked the field
goal
at
the
end, and but that was set up by a turnover. So the Rams didn't move much in the second half either. But Jared Goff completes 39 passes in that game.
Yeah.
That was one short of the all-time Monday Night Football record. I mean, how many games do you see two different receivers get 11-plus catches? Cooper Kupp had 11, and Robert Woods had 12.
The yards after the catch for those two guys?
Lots of yak.
Was insane.
Lots of yak.
Listen, Woods is Robert Woods is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the league.
And so is Kupp,
and so is
too.
So is Kupp.
Yeah,
that's
people
what I'm
don't
saying.
Think of either of them.
Neither of those two guys are your typical number one receiver, but they're really, really, really good.
You know what Tampa Bay could have used last night? They could have used Jalen Ramsey to cover one of those two guys.
Right.
Unfortunately, he was on the other team because Tampa Bay didn't have anybody covering those two guys. They were running free pretty much most of the night. And the Rams win this game despite 20 rushes for 37 yards. You don't win too many games in the NFL against Tom Brady, against a good team on the road with 1.9 yards per carry.
No.
You normally have to run the ball, possess the ball, keep it away from Brady, all those things. So this game set up so perfectly for Brady to win it, and the fact that he didn't is what has to call into question, where he's at as a quarterback right now. Now, he may turn it the next four or five games and start blitzing teams, but I'm going to have questions about him against real good defenses because he didn't show it last night.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a fair assessment to wonder why the inconsistency has been there with the Buccaneers all year. You see a game like he had last week where he's picking apart everything, and then you'll see a game like this week where, it's an inconsistent product. One drive they look good, the next drive it looks like they're not on the same page. So Buccaneers got some questions to answer.
Is it fair, really quick, just to say, I'm looking at the losses that they've had. They've had four losses this year. Twice they lost to the Saints. One was a season opener. I'm going to throw that one out because it was Brady's first game, and I got to give him a little chance. But they scored 19 points against the Bears, who have a good defense and beat them. They scored 3 points against the Saints, who have a good defense and shut them down completely. And then last night they didn't get much done against the Rams in the second half. The games where he's put the numbers up, Panthers, Giants, Packers, who don't have the greatest defense, Chargers, Broncos, Panthers again. So maybe that's the answer.
Listen, as I said, the formula to beat Tom Brady has always started with the front four.
Yeah.
Or front three, depending on what kind of defense you have. Either way, those three losses that you point out are against very, very good defense that have good front sevens at the very least. So we'll see if that is a continued thing as we get through the rest of the season. But nevertheless, Tom Brady does seem to be struggling, or at least at the very least inconsistent in this 2020 season. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we got a lot going on. All of a sudden, Blake Snell is being maybe put
potentially
out.
Shopped?
Potentially shopped.
Yes.
Huh. It gets you to wondering.
Do we want to get a guy that can't get Austin Barnes out?
At least according to the Rays.
Yeah.
At least according to the Rays. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 to 5.
Blake Snell could not get out Austin Barnes in the sixth inning of the World Series Game 6. And because of that, he was taken out of the game in the bad decision of the year made by Kevin Cash, who would then go on to become manager of the year. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 3:22 is the time. And Blake Snell, according to a lot of reports, is still a little ticked off about that decision to take him out of that game, just as everybody else was. Everybody that is, except for, was it what, Joe Sheehan, who was on our show?
Yeah, yes, Joel.
And tried to defend that. And the more he defended it, the angrier Tony got as the interview was going on. It was kind of funny. I just sat back in the corner and watched him go, watched the two of them spar.
I definitely challenged him.
Yeah, but Blake Snell seems like he wants out of Tampa Bay. I think he'd like to go to a manager that's not going to pull him in the sixth inning. That may leave the Padres out, unfortunately, because Jace Tingler is not against pulling a starter in the sixth inning. But I don't even think Jace Tingler would have pulled him out of that World Series game, not the way he was pitching. And it just brings up the point. I mean, the Padres, I think, it's pretty well understood, Tony, that the Padres are going to have to add a starting pitcher somewhere along the line. Now, I don't know if trading is the way to do it, or if free agency is how you have to go, or what you're going to do. Atlanta Braves today signed Charlie Morton, if I'm not mistaken.
That made them better.
So that makes them better, and that weakens Tampa Bay. So why not weaken Tampa Bay a little bit more and take Blake Snell? Of course, what would you have to trade to get Blake Snell? And what would you be willing to trade to get Blake Snell if you were the Peter Seidler-led San Diego Padres?
Listen, here's the way I look at this. I think the Padres have a legitimate 3-4 year window if we're looking at this thing realistically.
Right, that's fair.
Before, and let me say this, 3 or 4 year window before it starts to get really pricey, right? Because Tatis going to be up for some a raise. You can anticipate if Cronenworth continues to play the way he plays, he's going to be up for raises. It's going to start to get expensive with all the young players you have. Eventually, if your young players progress the way we all think they will, they eventually have to be paid accordingly.
Yeah.
And so you have what you have, 3-4 at very, very best, 5-year window to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the time to strike is now, I believe. You get, if you can acquire a guy like Mackenzie Gore, or excuse me, like Blake Snell, wouldn't you?
Was that a Freudian slip when you said Mackenzie Gore as to, well, like, that would be a guy you'd be thinking about trading? And if so, how much backlash would the Padres get if they risk something like that?
Listen, I don't know how much backlash you get. I don't know why you'd get backlash. We don't know.
A proven left-handed former Cy Young Award winner is better than a guy that's never pitched in the big leagues, right?
At 27? Yeah. I would say so.
You would think he is, yeah.
But who knows? I do think that window is the real window starts now, and you're kind of starting behind the eight ball, right, with Clev and a question mark at the Nelson Lamet being healthy.
I think Blake Snell would be a guy I'd be willing to trade one of my real quality guys for. I mean, here's the thing. The Padres have done an excellent job of assembling this team and assembling this organization, and they've been able to add to it without parting with any of their big-name prospects. A.J. Preller has resisted the temptation to do that. But there also comes a time when you have to use those big-name prospects to get where you want to go.
And we saw a little bit of that last year. They weren't like top-tier,
Right.
But when you're trying to make take that next big step, sometimes that requires that the next level type prospect.
So you're down for you'd be down if the Tampa Bay Rays. Well, look, first of all, I don't know that the Tampa Bay Rays will trade with the Padres right now. Right. I mean, after they fleeced them last year. I mean, the Padres got the rookie of the year practically in Jake Cronenworth. They got Tommy Pham, all for Hunter Renfroe, who was just designated for assignment by the Rays. So they have nothing to show for that trade, and they lost two players for that. But you're on record as saying if Mackenzie Gore was what they wanted, you'd be willing to look into it.
Right now, I would be willing to look into it, yeah, for sure.
And I think if you looked into that and you added Blake Snell, and then you went out into free agency and got a good, solid guy, like a number three guy, now you're talking about the potential of a rotation coming into form again, because Lamet, you hope, is going to be a one or a two. Blake Snell would immediately be a one or a two. Whoever you get in free agency, you would hope would be good enough to be the three.
Zach Davies is good enough to be a three the way he pitched
last
year.
Zach Davies, three or four. And then you can live with Chris Paddock at number five. I just don't want to start the season having to rely on Chris Paddock at number two, because I don't have enough confidence in him yet. He's going to have to start like at number five and work his way back up again in my mind. And if that doesn't work, then you still have Patino. You still have Morejon. You still have Weathers. You're starting to put together the makings of something there. We're doing a little GM work for A.J. Preller, who really doesn't need our
help, but he's
going to get it anyway.
I was on record last year saying I didn't think Paddock should be the number one. I thought it would be a little too much for him.
Yeah, well, you were correct.
It turned out that was the case.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the pressure doesn't get any lighter moving into year number three. It, as a team, his expectations raise up a little bit more as well. I still think Chris has a bright future, so you want to protect him right now. You know, you don't want him out in places where he can be exposed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say you really do. And we don't even know if this Blake Snell thing.
No, we're not making it up, but we're just we're connecting dots that aren't necessarily on the paper yet.
Right.
But it does seem like Snell is kind of somebody that potentially could be available. And if so, then I think that the Padres have to kick the tires.
I have a lot of worry that with last year there being no minor league season, mm-hmm, how much that impacted Mackenzie
Gore. A lot of minor league type guys may have taken a step back, you think?
It would almost
not help it.
Right? There was no season last year. There was no season for you to even work through any things that might have come up. Like a typical year for a guy like that, they start off the year, let's say they go 0-3 to start the year, 0-4 in their first six starts. And you have a whole season to work on getting better, you know, building off good starts, things of that nature. You had none of that last year. And I just don't think people can really understand that impact until you get a chance to see. Like, we've always had minor league seasons. So guys could have good years. They could have start of good years, finish bad, vice versa. We saw Tatis Jr. The year before he got called up, get off to a horrific start. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't make an out the rest of the season. That catapulted him in to his rookie season, which he probably would have been the rookie of the year.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. We'll see what the Padres do. We'll talk about it a little bit more. We have a Padre Pen Pal segment coming up in the 6 o'clock hour today, so we'll have plenty more Padre talk a little bit later on. But coming up, Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider. Lots of question marks that both Tony and I have, certainly, about Tom Brady and his performance last night. We'll get the expert's opinion on that and the rest of the goings-on in the NFL. Are the Baltimore Ravens really going to be able to play a game Thursday? They had more guys go on the COVID-19 restricted list today as they get set to try and take on the undefeated Packers. And who's at the top? Or not the undefeated Steelers, I should say. And who's at the top? Is it the Steelers or are the Kansas City Chiefs still the team to beat? We'll discuss all of that and more with Brian Baldinger when we come back. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. Program underway. Nice 4 hours settling in with you on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. You're going to have to set your alarm clock for Thanksgiving Day if you're an NFL football fan.
Why is that?
Well, because you've got the 3-7 Houston Texans taking on the 4-6 Detroit Lions, followed by a matchup of 3-7 teams, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Washington football team.
Oh, both playoff contenders right there.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the NFL is so arrogant. They know that we're all going to watch the games anyway.
Out of habit, more so than anything else.
Yes, but wouldn't you like to see some of the good teams play? I mean, I'm amazed that they sit there at the beginning of every season and they put these schedules together and they just assume the teams that were good last year are going to automatically be good this year. Never works out.
That is the problem with having standing appointments for a few of your NFL royalty, right? Because in the 90s, that Washington Dallas matchup would have been compelling. Like,
sure.
We would have all tuned in for that. But
Detroit's been – it's time.
Yeah,
maybe the time has come to kick Detroit out of the Thanksgiving Day
no!
game.
Are they deserving of a Thanksgiving matchup?
Yes!
Not anymore.
Tradition
is how we end up with 3-7
Tradition
teams.
Is how we end up we end up with my wife holding the clicker on Thanksgiving morning and going, you don't need to watch Houston and Detroit,
right,
and flipping around and me having to watch the Macy's Day Parade, speaking of tradition, which I think they're still having that parade.
We can get rid of that.
What, the Macy's Day Parade?
Keep the Lions, get rid of the parade.
No, but the fact that the Lions exist is why I'm going to have to watch the stupid parade.
The parade might be more compelling, to be honest with you.
It's going to be more compelling. Lions have been playing a lousy Thanksgiving day game now for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just been the last couple of years they haven't been good.
This is coming from a kid that loved to watch Barry Sanders play, too.
Absolutely.
He was the only reason, really, to tune into that Thanksgiving game.
Yes, well, he's been gone now for about 15 years, so there hasn't been anything compelling. Nobody's tuning in to watch Kerryon Johnson. Kenny Galladay's hurt, last I checked.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford can't score against Carolina. The Detroit Lions, you're right, they don't deserve the Thanksgiving Day game anymore.
No.
I mean, tradition be damned. I mean, it's time to move on from the Lions playing on Thanksgiving. Let's get with it.
But it goes back to your very original point, Chris. The NFL knows, no matter who they put in those games, because of the tradition that's behind
it, we'll all be watching.
Because if you think about it, like Thursday night games, like not everybody tunes into those because they've had some bad matchups. The Thanksgiving game isn't like the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
It has so much tradition by it. People have been tuning into that game for most of us their whole lives, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's just habit. Oh, Thanksgiving, that means we're going to get a couple football games. We're going to be around the TV watching no matter who it is. And we do it every year.
We watch it anyway.
Yep.
We need to make an adjustment in our viewing and say, look, we're not going to put up with these lousy games. And you're going to have to start putting some decent teams on Thanksgiving Day. And I'll tell you what, if Detroit and Dallas have to play on Thanksgiving Day, which is what they've done for the last 35 years, something like that, then put them against each other and get them out of the way.
Right. Y'all play against each other.
You just play each other, play one terrible game, and then give us a good game to watch in the afternoon or something. But, no, I'm all for – and, boy, you're talking to me, Mr. Tradition over here.
Right.
But I'm all for getting rid of the Lions on the Thanksgiving Day game. They just don't deserve it anymore. They've done nothing to – every team in the NFL, Tony, every team – including Jacksonville, which played for the AFC title no less than 3-4 years ago. The Jets played for an AFC title, within the last 20 years, and maybe even 15 years with Mark Sanchez. I think they played in back-to-back AFC championship games. So my point is every team has their turn at the top,
right,
or every team has their turn where they're worth watching, except the Lions. They never get a turn. The Lions never get a turn near the top of the standings. And every Thanksgiving, we're reminded of it when we have to watch them play. And then I think the NFL executives are kind of up against it. Should we put a good team against them? Because I remember one time they put Peyton Manning in that
and
game.
And he just,
and the final score was like 66-3. It was so that wasn't fun.
It was over from the, like, it wasn't even, like, watchable after, like, the first quarter. It was,
so you have to put kind of another lousy team against them. Although this year they put Houston, thinking Houston would be good, and their season's been a disaster. But, yeah, 3-3-7 team. Actually, you know what's funny? We're making fun of the Lions. Of the four teams that are playing on Thanksgiving,
they got the best record.
They got the best record. The Lions are 4-6. The other three teams are 3-7. So, yeah, Thanksgiving's going to be. Shoot, I got to watch the dumb Macy's Day Parade.
No, so cancel
I usually
that.
Have an excuse.
Cancel it.
Cancel that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. I mean, my wife's got the clicker control. If the Lions are, it's in the marriage agreement. If the Lions are playing, I have to give up the clicker.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's what you signed
up
for.
You know how bad you know how bad the Lions have been.
I agreed to that. It's like if the Lions are on, I don't need to watch.
You know how bad the Lions have been for so long on Thanksgiving is that we have resorted to like looking forward to what uniform they might wear on Thanksgiving.
And they always wear the ugly one.
They wear those. I like those ones.
The throwback ones?
The throwback.
Just the no logo on the helmet?
No logo. That had become like the thing that we were looking forward to watching the Detroit Lions play.
It's about all we have to look forward to.
Because the teams weren't good. Real quick, this hour is brought to you by San Diego County BMW Center. Hurry in to the BMW Road Home Sale event. Receive a credit up to $3,500 on select models now through November 30th. Contact the San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. What you guys, Greg?
I can't seem to find Mr. Baldinger,
right.
So it's okay.
If you hadn't noticed, Chris and I were doing our best job to provide a little more time for Mr. Baldinger.
Yes, and you guys did a great job because Odd Thomas just texted me and said the Lions have to stay on Thanksgiving, and then I'm adding this because he wants to watch Matt Stafford play. That's what we really know about Odd Thomas. And he says, get rid of the Cowboys.
Listen, the Cowboys deserve
the Cowboys
they have a better right to be
most of the time deserve to play that game.
Right. Now, Detroit, listen, I think, because remember in the NBA for a long time, the Christmas game always had a Celtics or a Lakers, and it's remained that way unless they've both been bad or unless somebody's been box office, right?
Right.
Celtic kind of fell out of that for a little bit because they weren't good and they didn't have box office. The Lakers were able to kind of stay afloat. When they had Kobe, even in the slim years,
but when they were bad, it was still kind of hard to watch those games.
Exactly. So they remove them, and you add some more teams at least to make us want to tune in a little bit longer. Just to me, having the Detroit Lions in that matchup, I just think doesn't do anybody any good at that.
By the way, Matt Patricia's still the coach.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be.
I think this is his last go around.
This might be his last game.
You lose to a guy who's making his NFL debut as a defensive guru. It's not a good look.
Right.
Why were they in such a hurry? I mean, this is way too much Detroit Lion talk. Why were they in such a hurry to get rid of Jim Caldwell? He went 11-5, yep. 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, and went to two wild card games. They lost them both. But in a 4-year stretch, the Lions had a winning record and two playoff appearances, and they blew Jim Caldwell out in favor of the great Matt Patricia, who's gone 13-28-1. Those things bother me, and I've talked about this in the past. They fire coaches that are actually being successful because they're not like winning championships. The latest to get gassed was the South Carolina head coach.
Muschamp. Yeah.
South Carolina's been a horrible college football program for as long as I can remember. They're like 500 under Muschamp and have been, you know, in the top half of the league. But since they're not beating Alabama, well, who beats Alabama?
The expectation for some of these programs is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, I think Matt is probably, Patricia is on, is probably on his last leg there in Detroit. It goes back to that shiny object, and I think last time we had this conversation was with the head coach for the Rams, because he was the greatest thing ever for
Sean McVay,
right?
Right.
He was the guru, and everybody was picking off his tree, and that's just kind of how the NFL works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, for instance, it seems to not be working in Detroit, but you go on down there to South Beach, it does seem like It's working a little
bit. They got
bit.
The so right guy.
It's a guess. So we don't have any more NFL, but we do have some college football, and specifically our San Diego Aztecs. Brady Hoke and the Aztec coming off a really tough loss to Nevada last week. And, you know, also trying to find a new opponent this week. And Brady Hoke was asked about the process of finding a new opponent. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I know for a fact that JD's working hard, has been working hard, really, at the end of last week. I'm not sure because of Fresno and what the situation, you know, they're going through. But I think JD has contacted, you know, a lot of people. Obviously, if it could be a Mountain West deal, it would be preferable for everybody. But we'll see. You know, I've said this before. We'll play anybody. We just want the opportunities to play. You know, our guys work too hard in the off season. They work too hard during fall camp. Not to have the opportunities to play football games.
Listen, I think that is the tough part, right? When you're in a head coach's position, or any head coach's position in this day and age, with a COVID kind of looming over, is you've been around these kids pretty much every day, and you've seen how hard they work, and you want to find a way to get these guys playing some games, and it's difficult. You got to find opponents that actually want to play, because we know some of them don't.
Well, with all due respect to Washington, what are they waiting for?
Right.
Like, they couldn't get BYU to play them, so what, they won't? I mean, San Diego State's a credible football program. It's not like we're bottom of the barrel. You know, I think it would be nice if Washington did that, although I was reading that the Aztecs have to wait and see what takes place in the Mountain West Conference, because there's a couple of potential games that may fall through there.
And they can have
and
one of those
Mountain
opponents?
West, the Mountain Conference would rather the Aztecs play another Mountain West Conference team. So maybe the Aztecs are actually the ones holding up the chance to play Washington. It's a little confusing. I mean, you know, you hear so many different stories and you don't know the real deal. So,
yeah, that's definitely tough. And Brady Hoke was also asked about the type of options he has available to him.
I'm not in the middle of those conversations, but I think our athletic director is going to be very aggressive. And as long as the health and safety and the protocols are going to be met for our players and for our opponents' players, we'll try and play anybody.
Yeah, and it sounds like, Chris, that from what we're hearing from Brady Hoke, is that the drop-dead date is tomorrow. If they don't have an opponent by tomorrow,
I think that's fair.
They're
though.
Not having a game. It only makes sense.
You can't tell
tomorrow's
them that you're
Wednesday.
Ready for a game. You got to look at a little film.
Right.
You
right.
can be running right. around out there not knowing what to do. You can't play a college football game without even seeing the other team play. So you need a couple of days to get a game plan together and to keep your guys in a position where they have a chance to be successful. So that's understandable. Hopefully the Mountain West Conference will clear up whatever they got to clear up. Kirk Kenny wrote it all very, you know, succinctly in the paper today, and I'm kind of didn't bring the paper with me, so I'm thinking of off the top of my head. But there was a couple of games in the Mountain West that are up in the air because of the COVID thing, and if those games fall through, I think the Mountain West Conference would like the Aztecs to play one of those available opponents. If not, hopefully they can pull it off and play Washington. That would be one of those no-lose situation type things for San Diego State, and I understand that Washington, it would be the opposite, right? I mean, if they win, they're supposed to, but I hope that people will look past that and get to the point of, you know, just, you know, these kids are working hard. They're making a lot of sacrifices to get out there and play and being tested all the time and going through everything that they're all going through. It would be nice if they could get a couple of more games in. So hopefully that will happen for San Diego State this week. And, you know, you look at the college basketball, Tony, and the Aztecs getting ready to play UCLA. To me, like, that game isn't on until the ball goes up in the air at 7:30 tomorrow 100%. Night. Because college basketball, it is really hit and miss right now. I mean, you look around, Baylor and Seton Hall have canceled their game. Tennessee is not going to play Gonzaga in the Jimmy V Classic anymore. Utah's coach and multiple players have tested positive. Those are just a couple of headlines I'm reading off the top. So there's way more than that around college basketball. And you know, playing in the incubator, which is an indoor arena, just a really difficult thing. I mean, it's crazy. I'm looking across the top of this scoreboard, and it's got South Dakota State against 11th-ranked Creighton, canceled. Charlotte against 12th-ranked Tennessee, canceled. Gardner-Webb against 9th-ranked Duke, canceled. Number 2 Baylor, number 18 Arizona State, canceled. Eastern Washington against number 20 Oregon, canceled. That's just the, like I said, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And those are all top 25 teams that are involved in
every one of them. So you just hope that the Aztecs can get their game in tomorrow night. For the, you know, obviously health is most important in protecting all these kids, but hopefully they get to play tomorrow night. It'll be fun. 7:30 game. It'll be on CBS Sports Network, which means Scraby won't get to watch it.
But don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
Can't you stream it on your phone?
Don't no, you because you have to have a provider to sign into to watch it.
Oh,
you
so don't it have. Does a, do you pay need to have cable every once
to,
in a while?
Do you need me to provide you with a provider?
And that's illegal, so no.
Well, get a provider.
Well, for no. Actually, I do have a provider. Here's the thing. They made a new sports package on top of the other sports package, on top of that sports package, so that I have to pay extra to see CBS Sports Network. Sorry, the only thing I really want to see...
They're going after all you streamers.
They
want you to get cable.
Chris has his hand in the air, which really makes me nervous because this never happens. What's that, Chris?
I just wanted to say I'm sorry I asked.
Good point. You know,
I didn't really need that in depth of a report.
I mean, I could go on about this for an hour and a half if you guys really want to.
It's obvious that you have gone on this for an hour and a half to somebody.
Chris has heard this same thing probably 5 times in the last week.
I might have heard it every day last week.
He probably did. He's not lying there.
A quick update. We will have Brian Baldinger.
Yes, we will get him. We have him on. He did call back, but we just couldn't fit him into the segment, so we'll have him in the 4 o'clock hour and get his NFL insight.
By the way, more and more Ravens are coming up with positive tests.
That's what I said.
At least 10 positive COVID-19 tests. And this game is to be played on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
They're going to play this game no matter what.
Well, that's all. It's hilarious. It's honestly kind of comical to read the story. The headline of the story is more positive virus tests for Ravens. Then you read the story. And it says, the Ravens have announced Pernell McPhee was placed on the injured COVID list. Running backs J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram already on the list. In addition, defensive tackle Brandon Williams was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. The Ravens have this and other problems. They have 5 other players, 4 staffers test positive this week, sources told Adam Schefter. And then the next sentence is, an NFL spokesman said, there will be no change to the status of Thursday night's game. The NFL just does not care.
By the way, that Arizona State game, that was basketball that you said earlier, right?
Yes, they're on the Aztec schedule.
The college football game just got canceled.
Yeah,
Arizona State, Utah.
Did it?
Yeah. So,
well, there's another couple of possibilities.
This is why it's been hard to get into college football all year long.
And now Wisconsin, their game's canceled, and they've probably played like 2 games.
Right? Yeah.
And they don't have enough games to qualify for the Big Ten championship.
In the Big Ten, they don't mess around. Like, you got
21 days.
21 days. Yeah. All right, we got to get to break. 4 o'clock hour on the way. Chris versus the fans on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.